Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us begin with singing from Psalter 110, the first two verses. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have come past me, my sinful deeds arise. Yea, they have overtaken me. I dare not raise my eyes. It is 1 and 2 of 110.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, there of the second chapter, the first 12 verses. But first let us do a confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Mark 2, the first 12 verses. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time on thy day, thou hast given that opportunity again to enter into thy house. Again, thou art seeking lost sinners. Again, thou art calling unto us through thy word to repent, to believe. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would gather with us, that thou would come among us with that work of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. Thou hast been poured out upon this earth, as we have remembered on Pentecost. But may we beg thee for thy presence tonight among us. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember the whole congregation and all those who have gathered with us and all those who were listening along. Lord, we beg thee for those blessings that we cannot give ourselves, those blessings that come from thee, that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those blessings that were paid for by the merits of that precious Lamb of God, and that are applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, in this evening, when we remember and meditate upon that precious name, Christ, of that mediator, Oh, we beg thee that thy word may go out with power, and that it may enter into ears, open deaf spiritual ears, to hear thy voice, to hear thy word for the first time or by renewal. Oh, that thy word may be accompanied with power, and that it may enlighten dark, sinful minds, and that thy truth of who thou art, as that great prophet, priest, and king, may enter into dark minds. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would work mightily then with that threefold office, that thou would teach sinners and lead them to thyself, as that high priest who has that only sacrifice, but Lord, work also as that king to conquer hearts. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that then tonight, that through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that name, the Lord Jesus Christ, may become so necessary, suitable, and precious. Oh, that sinners would be brought in the dust before thee as lost, guilty sinners, and yet worshiping thee. Oh, we pray that sinners may hear that there is forgiveness in thee, in that only Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember those who have no burden of sin, and who are on that broad way traveling to never-ending eternity, to destruction. Oh, wilt thou teach and show them? Lord, we all know it in our minds, but may it become real, true, that they may experience that they are a lost sinner, a guilty sinner, and that they may become wretched in themselves and brought to thy feet and be crying out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember those whom thou hast taught that they are sinners, and they have that burden of sin, and they are seeking a way to be reconciled with thee, to be free from that burden that they cannot find any way in self. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would show them the way through him, through thee, who art that prophet, priest, and king. And may sinners experience the forgiveness of sins. Oh, that man who was lowered to the feet of that precious Savior, thou hast spoken, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee, and he could go home with joy, glorifying thee. Oh, may it also be tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit that guilty sinners may hear from thy lips, thou who art that Christ, that anointed one, by the Holy Spirit to do the will of thy Father, to teach sinners, to lead sinners, to guide sinners, to conquer sinners, to dwell in sinners by thy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give us those undeserved blessings that we cannot give unto ourselves. Lord, we pray then, have mercy upon us, teach us, lead us, guide us by thy word and by thy Spirit. We beg and pray thee, Lord, as we have entered into another week of preparation, Lord, may we be like David and pray unto thee, search me, Lord, try me, examine me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in that way of everlasting life. Lord, we beg thee then, come with thy word and with the light of the Spirit upon thy word, and testify with thy children that they are thy children, that they may be obedient to the invitation and to the command to remember thy death, and that thou would bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be that comfort for poor, wretched sinners, for beggars, for little dogs that may be brought to that table, that they may be fed by the bread of life, that they may receive water for their thirsty souls. Lord, we beg thee then, do not pass us by, but work mightily, irresistibly. We beg and ask thee, Lord, then, that thou would also remember the persecuted church. Lord, we may freely gather in thy house without fear for our lives, for being imprisoned. but there are many upon this earth, little lambs and sheep of the good shepherd, that for thy name they are persecuted, tortured. Oh, we ask thee and beg thee, Lord, uphold them, care for them, and give them, that they may be kept by thee, by thy power, by that good shepherd, and that they may be helped day by day. Lord, remember then also in this week, the Lord willing, the graduates who hope to graduate and to leave school, the Rehoboth Christian School, where they have been instructed for many years. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, as they leave that place, and so to speak now need to enter into the world. Oh, we beg thee that thou would guide them and lead them, and that thy word that has been taught unto them may be a light upon their pathway and a lamp unto their feet. Oh, we beg thee for thy spirit in them to keep them, to guide them, to protect them from all the false winds and doctrines that they will face in the world, in colleges, in universities. And Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. Oh, we beg thee then that thy word that they have heard for so many years in their homes, but also in school and in thy house, may be blessed, and that they may have a new heart, that they may have a heart with the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Care for them, guide them, give them thankful hearts for what thou hast given unto them, that so many thousands upon this earth who do not receive such great blessings, may it not testify against them. Remember then all the staff, the teachers, the students. Lord, care for them also in this time where there will be vacation. Keep from an unprepared death. And if it is in thy will that the school and the education, wherever it may begin again, the Lord willing, at September. Lord, we beg thee that thou would provide also teachers. Thou knowest the need, but we beg thee especially that thou would give God-fearing teachers, teachers who know of that work of the Holy Spirit, that experiential work of misery, deliverance, and gratitude in their heart, that they may teach the students from the heart, from thy word. O Lord, bless and provide. We pray and ask thee that thou would remember then also that family who has been sponsored by this congregation, who await to enter, to come to Canada. Lord, if it is in thy will, open the way, incline the hearts of the government, that they may enter as refugees, and that they may come among us, to live among us, but also especially to be under the means of grace, the preaching of thy precious word. Lord, thou knowest also the needs for this church, that we desire also to seek a way to expand, that there's room for the whole congregation. And Lord, these matters also may be brought unto thee in prayer. We beg thee then that thou would turn the hearts of those who stand in the way. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give opening, and that we may receive also that opening to build. But Lord, we beg thee, guide us and lead us. And if it is in thy will, open the way. Teach us, show us the way that we must go. We pray also for the government, the prime minister, and all those who thou hast placed over us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they may rule this nation upon their knees in prayer and according to thy word. Oh, wilt thou give a revival, give a returning unto thee, to thy word in this nation, Lord? And do not leave us, do not forsake us. We have cast thee out, we have turned away from thee, and we only deserve darkness and a famine of thy word. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, work mightily yet, irresistibly, and bless thy word in this nation. Help all thy servants who have been called by thee to preach the precious word of God, and that we may do it. Death and Adam and life in Christ, according to the meaning of the Spirit, take away all the fear of men, but also the praise of men, and that we may be a mouthpiece by thee, an instrument in thy hand, a voice crying in the wilderness and pointing sinners to that only way of life and salvation and that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we beg thee then, come among us, work mightily, irresistibly, give repentance, give that true saving faith that thou can work and will work in sinners, that they will repent, that they will believe. Lord, we ask thee then, pass us not by, give us a good hour in thy house, and we beg thee, Lord, that there may be much prayer, that thou would give opening and give a blessing upon thy word, that sinners would be born again, and that born again sinners would repent and come to the true saving faith in thee and in that only Savior. Lord, we ask thee then much. We deserve nothing. Have mercy on us. Forgive us. Wash us. Cleanse us of all our many sins. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 183, all four stanzas. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. Rich gifts to thee are offered by men who did rebel, who pray that now Jehovah, their God, with them may dwell. Psalter 183, all four stanzas, and the collections for this evening is for the church and for the school target fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the good news, or the gospel, is that God saves sinners. God saves sinners. It's good news because it's God's work. God saves sinners. Sinners don't save themselves, no, but God saves sinners. Salvation doesn't depend on man, but it comes from a triune God. God desires sinners to be reconciled with Him. It flows from Him, and sinners are the recipients of His grace. They seek Him because He began with seeking them. My friend, do you seek the Lord? Are you seeking that only Savior of whom we heard last week? Remember that name? That name? That precious name of the mediator? What was that name that we considered? Jesus. Why did God the Father specifically give His Son that name? Because He desired to express something to sinners. What does that name mean? It means Jehovah saves. God is expressing there is salvation in that almighty, holy, majestic God through His Son, Jesus. Jehovah saves. In Jehovah is salvation. But that mediator has many more names. But there's especially three precious names that we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. Jesus, and the second name is Christ. What does that name Christ mean? Well, that's what we will meditate upon tonight with the help of the Lord. The name Jesus expresses that Jehovah saves. But the name Christ expresses and teaches how He saves. He saves as the prophet, priest, and king. Jesus Christ, that mediator, worked objectively for His church, satisfying the justice of God the Father. All that He has done, the whole works of salvation, He has finished it. He said, it's finished. But He also works subjectively. What does that mean? He works in the hearts of sinners. God saves sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the prophet Isaiah already prophesied of the Messiah, that He would come with that threefold office, as we can read in Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It speaks of that threefold office of the Messiah as the prophet, priest, and king. Now tonight we will consider the name Christ. And so tonight we will read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, and we only read question and answer 31. And you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 40. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 31. Why is He called Christ, that is anointed? Because He is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of His body hath redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by His word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation He hath purchased for us. So the theme for tonight is Christ, the Savior of sinners. Christ, the Savior of sinners. Christ, as prophet, saves sinners. Christ, as high priest, saves sinners. And Christ, as king, saves sinners. Dear congregation, my dear friends, Jesus Christ was ordained by God the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit. When did that happen? That is baptism. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Christ means anointed one. He was anointed not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit to equip him, to qualify him, you may say, to fulfill and to be able to do the will of his Father. He had the unction of the Holy Spirit. Christ is the anointed one. And he was anointed to be our prophet, to be the only high priest, and to be the eternal king. And for a sinner to be saved, he needs the work of Jesus Christ as a prophet, priest, and king in his heart. And so we will consider each of these offices of Jesus Christ. First, Christ as prophet saves sinners. Jesus Christ as the chief prophet. No, he's not just a prophet, he's the chief prophet. He's the chief prophet. And we read in the answer, he reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. The redemption of sinners was first revealed in Genesis 3, verse 15, and through the whole Old Testament, but fully revealed, or more fully revealed, in the New Testament, especially by Jesus Christ, the chief prophet. The Bible is the book of redemption. The Bible is the book of the history of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and finished the work of salvation. And remember, on Good Friday, we considered, he said, it is finished. He came, he finished it. And nothing needs to be added. Nothing. It's full. It's complete. There's a complete salvation in Jesus Christ for lost sinners in him. And the only book that reveals that way of salvation is the precious Word of God, the Bible. And Christ came to teach and to preach about the kingdom of God and about the way of redemption. He did not come in the first place to do miracles, as we have read a great miracle. We'll come back to that as we read in Mark 2. But he did not first come in the first place to do miracles, but he came to reveal. He spoke in parables. He revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He came to preach and to teach, to preach to sinners, to teach sinners. He came to preach. And we read in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching is still the main focus, the most necessary focus, to preach the word of God. That's why we're here tonight, to hear the preaching, to hear God speaking to us through his word. And it's through the foolishness of preaching. And he didn't call angels, he called sinful men. And it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save sinners. And Jesus Christ, the great prophet, came to reveal the counsel of God, the secret counsel and will of God. What is that? What is the secret counsel and will of God? He reveals what you and I need to know to be redeemed. He reveals to you and I through the word what you need to know to be redeemed. He taught, he preached that sinners to be redeemed must be born again, but he also especially taught as he began preaching, as we read in Mark 1 verse 14 and 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is the first thing the Lord Jesus Christ said to that man? Children, teenagers, what is the first thing that the Lord Jesus said to that man that was lowered at his feet, that was sick of the palsy on that bed? What did he say to him? We read that in Mark 2, verse 5. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So in this history, Christ teaches you and I our first great need. It's not about our bodies. No, the Lord does care about the bodies. But the first great need is not about our body. It's about your soul. Your soul for a never-ending eternity. He teaches that our great need is to repent and to believe. Peter, on Pentecost, what did he preach? What do we read in Acts 3, verse 19? Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Jesus Christ, as the prophet, came to preach and to teach our greatest need. What's the greatest need? What's your greatest need? What's my greatest need? If I asked you to write down tonight, so nobody else would see on a piece of paper your greatest need, what would you write? Is your greatest need, I need to be reconciled with God. I need to be redeemed. I need to be saved. I need to be washed from my sin. I need to be forgiven. What is your greatest need? May I ask you a different question? What would fill your heart with absolute joy tonight? Would it be to hear with the power of the Holy Spirit that word that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to that man at his feet, son, daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or do you only have needs? All kinds of a multitude of other needs, but no need for your soul. No need for reconciliation with God. There's many teachers, many professors. Grade 12 graduates, you will leave Rehoboth Christian School, or you will leave whoever you are that you graduate the way that you've been educated, and you go, so to speak, into the world. You'll enter in universities, colleges, workplaces, and they will teach you many things, how to gain and to live in this world. But Jesus Christ, as an only high, or the only prophet, the great teacher, he teaches the need for your soul. What did he say in Matthew 6, verse 33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Congregation, children, teenagers, adults, whoever you are, we were brought in this world, and we need to leave this world. We need to be prepared, and Jesus Christ teaches that we need to be prepared to meet God against we have sinned. We need to seek him. We need to repent, and we need to believe the gospel. And he reveals the will of God. He preached, repent and believe. Yes, we must repent. He teaches that. The great need to turn from all sin and to turn to God with our whole heart. To forsake the world, to crucify the flesh, and to turn unto him. And remember? What do we read in Luke 13, verse 3? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. No repentance, no redemption. And that is why Jesus Christ came preaching, repent ye and believe the gospel. Are you discouraged because of your sinfulness? Does sin have a grip upon you? Powers of sin? Are you trying to be free from sin? Do you feel the power of sin that grips you? And are you wondering how you could ever be freed from sin, from the power of sin and evil? Well, Christ did not only preach the need to repent, the command to repent, but he also gives the grace of repentance. He gives the grace of repentance. That's the hope. That's the gospel. The command, and what he commands, he has the power to give. Christ saves sinners as the prophet, priest, and king. And so, do you need to repent? I hope you feel your need, that he teaches you, hear it. But that you also then turn to him, that only Savior of sinners, and beg him, give me the grace of repentance. What do we read in Acts 5, verse 31? Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior. And now listen. Do you need repentance? Listen. For to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. You need to repent. And lambs, sheep, we need to also daily repent. We need to repent of all our sinful thoughts, all our sinful desires, all our sinful deeds, all our sinful choices, all our sinful actions. This week we need to repent. We need to search and repent of all sin, confess it, pour it out to God, and seek forgiveness in Him. Are you discouraged that you remain so sinful? Are you discouraged that you remain so filled with flesh? And do you not seem to get any better? That you only seem to get worse and worse? Are you discouraged of who you are? Do you seem not to make any progress? Is that your feeling? It's going backwards? I have a question. What is progress in the life of a Christian? What is the true progress? True progress in the life of a Christian is that they not only see some sin, but they see more of it and more of it. And that they see that only have done sin, I think of sin, I have sinful actions and desires, but my whole being is sinful. That's progress. Why? Is that really progress? Why? So that you're cut off of everything. So that Christ becomes more and more necessary, more suitable, more glorious, more precious for your soul. I think we all know the hymn, Amazing Grace. We know John Newton wrote that hymn. The beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was on his deathbed. And one of his friends visited him and asked him, John, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul, John? And he says, there's two things I know. Two things. That I am a great sinner. But Jesus Christ is the great Savior. My friend, to be taught this by the great prophet, that's life. That's a blessing. That is to be prepared to meet God in peace. Christ, as the prophet, came to reveal the secret counsel and will of God. What is the secret counsel and will of God? It's all about what you know, need to know to be redeemed. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe what? Believe the gospel. Yes, repent, but also believe. What's the gospel, congregation? If somebody asked you tomorrow, explain to me what is the gospel, what would you say? What would your answer be? Would you speak about man this, man this, man that? Or would your answer be of what God, of what that triune God has done for wretched sinners, of what God has done, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that God is seeking and saving sinners. God is saving sinners who cannot save themselves. God who breaks the power of sin, who gives life, and who leads them by His Spirit day by day. The gospel is that in God there is forgiveness. God proclaims, declares grace and forgiveness to the chiefest of sinners through the merits of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Sinners do not need to qualify. They only find they disqualify completely because of their sins. Is this you? Have you found that you disqualify for everything? That your only sin? Has Christ taught you who you are? Has He shown you? Has He revealed it unto you? The gospel is God, a triune God, saves sinners by the grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. Through faith in Him, the gift of faith that connects a wretched sinner with a rich Savior, Christ. Christ teaches that we must repent and we must believe the gospel. So what is the gospel? What God has done for wretched sinners. What is it to believe? What is it to believe? I've heard it in mission work. To believe is to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's faith. Is it? Faith includes believing what God says I am, what I am, and who Christ is for such a wretched. It's to believe that in God is the forgiveness of all my sins. It's in Him and in Him alone. Like that woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus. She believed it was in Him. And she went to Him, fled to Him as a lost, bankrupt sinner. What's it to believe? It's to believe that in Him and that very God whom we have offended is forgiveness and abundance of mercy. Open your Bible, please. To Isaiah 55, we'll read verse 7. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Christ teaches. He gives that repentance. But He also teaches that in God, in Him, is an abundance of mercy, an abundantly able to pardon the chief of sinners. And that becomes the good news. Why? Because they come to see themselves not as little sinners, not as so-so sinners, but complete sinners, lost sinners, with a mountain of sin. Are you struggling? Oh, if I could only believe the gospel, if I could only believe that wonders of God's grace, that in Him is forgiveness of Jesus Christ, if I could only really believe it with my whole heart. Are you struggling? Do you struggle with unbelief? There's many reasons that they may be struggling. But what is one of the reasons? One of the reasons is they only look within. They only see who they are. The Holy Spirit teaches. Christ teaches by the law of their misery. But they only are continually looking within. And they see all that pollution, all that sin, all that wretchedness. And then they hear that there is forgiveness in God through Jesus Christ, and they doubt it because who they are. But my friend, you who are struggling with unbelief and struggling with a desire to be able to believe, the gospel is not for good people. The gospel is not for righteous ones. The gospel is for sinners, lost sinners, unqualified sinners, horrible sinners, self-righteous sinners, wicked sinners. That's the gospel. Christ revealed it, that He came into this world to save sinners. Sinners who are the chief, sinners who are the greatest. Oh, to be able to believe. Listen what He said. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a worthy acceptation that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Christ teaches. He teaches of self, and He leads to that Savior of who He is, of Christ. That rich and powerful Savior, able to save. But do you doubt? Do you doubt whether He is able to save a sinner? A sinner as great as you are? Do you doubt whether He has the power? Whether He has the authority? Let's turn back to Mark chapter 2, that history again. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said to that man at His feet, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What did the Pharisees and scribes say? What did they say? They began to murmur in themselves. And we read in verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? May I ask you, children, is this correct? Yes, it is correct. Only God can forgive sins. He's only has the power. They are correct. But how did Jesus Christ, who was standing there, that He was the one, that He is God, and that He has the power to forgive them and the authority to forgive them of their sins? Then we read in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Did you hear it? But that ye may know that the Son of Man, Christ, hath the power on earth to forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus healed that man. And so the people could see by the proof of his healing what he said about the forgiveness of sins is also true. And they saw that man walking home, maybe with that bed that he came on, under his arm or over his shoulder, glorifying God. This man went home so filled with joy because Jesus Christ had spoken to him. I'm sure he was happy that he could finally walk. Maybe he never walked his whole life. Maybe this was the first time he could walk. I'm sure he was thankful and happy. But something deep in his soul gave him such profound joy that the prophet, the precious Savior Jesus Christ, had said to him, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus Christ is the great prophet. And he says, repent and believe the gospel. He calls. He says, believe in me. I have the power. It's in me. I have the power. I have the authority. You need the forgiveness of sins. It's all in me. How can God forgive sins? How is it possible? Well, that's his second office of Christ, that priest. He came to teach, to preach. But he also came as that high priest. That is the way of forgiveness. He taught of the way of salvation, but he, as that priest himself, opened the way. And so we come to our second thought. Christ as priest saves sinners. Remember the theme? Christ, the Savior of sinners. How is Christ the Savior of sinners? How does he save sinners? Through the work of his offices. He teaches sinners, but he also saves sinners as the only high priest. Look in the Heidelberg Catechism. What do we read in the answer? And to be our only high priest, who by the sacrifice of his body hath redeemed us. It's by his one perfect sacrifice. Listen to two verses from Hebrews. Hebrews 9 verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And now Hebrews 10 verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What does a high priest do, children? What does he do? What is one of the main things a high priest does? He offers sacrifices. He offered lambs. And Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Did he have a lamb to offer? Was he that high priest that went to the temple and offered a lamb? No, he didn't. We don't read that at all in the history. No, he became the lamb. He came as the lamb. He came to be the sacrifice. The great high priest. In order to say, son, daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee, he had to come to this earth. He had to come in the flesh. He had to leave the glory of his Father in heaven. And he had to come. He had to suffer his whole life. To be able to say, son, daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee, he had to keep the law perfectly. All 10 commandments every day, every moment of his life. And he was assaulted by Satan and tempted, but he stood as the first Adam fell in paradise in that garden. But Jesus Christ, he stood. He resisted. He was rejected. He was mocked. And he was made sin who knew no sin. Christ, that great high priest, he's the lamb. He's the sacrifice. He died. He died to satisfy the justice of God for sinners who have nothing, who cannot satisfy. He's the prophet to teach, but he's also the high priest to stand in the breach of that substitute, to take away the offense, to pay, to cleanse, to wash. For Jesus Christ to be able to say,
my son, thy daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. What a sacrifice of love. May I ask you, do you know something of him as that prophet to teach you? But do you also know something of him as that high priest, as that one with that sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God? What a sacrifice. Why did he do that? Why did Christ give himself? Not only to teach, to preach, to live on this earth, but to be that sacrifice, to be the Lamb of God. Why? To fulfill the will of his Father. What was the will of the Father? That he would have a redeemed people forever around his throne, glorifying and praising him forever. That he could rejoice over them and that they could rejoice in him. Jesus Christ opened that way. He taught of the way of the prophet as a prophet, but he opened the way as that sacrifice, as that high priest. He opened the way that we closed with our sin, never ever able to be opened. And it would remain closed unless Christ came as that high priest to be the sacrifice. For God the Father to justify sinners, to forgive sinners, to look upon them in favor, to be able to have communion with them, Jesus Christ had to be that high priest. He had to be that sacrifice. Come. And Jesus Christ also did miracles. Why? Why? Because those miracles testify of who he is. Of who he is for sinners. Because he wants to convince sinners that he's the mediator. That he's the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say in John 14 verse 11? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And now listen, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So this chapter, Mark 2, speaks of a great miracle that testifies of who he is. But he also, through this miracle, we hear of the forgiveness of sins. What wonders of mercy and grace that Jesus Christ is not only the prophet to teach, but also that priest who came to be that sacrifice, to be able to open that way. And he works in their hearts to teach them of who they are, also to make room for the only sacrifice. Why? Why? Because by nature, no, we wouldn't say this because we know it's not true, but in our hearts, we like to have a little sacrifice here to try to please God. We like to have a little sacrifice here. Our prayers, our zeal, our good works, this, that. We like these little sacrifices that we do, and we want, so to speak, secretly in our heart, we think God is going to be moved by from something that we can give him. But we need to learn that the infinite justice of God can only be satisfied with an infinite sacrifice. And he strips sinners of everything of themselves. That it's all polluted, all filthy. Why? To lead to that high priest, to him and that sacrifice, to have faith in him and in him alone. My friend, do you know him as the prophet? But do you also know something of him as the priest? Is there faith in your heart? Have you repented of your sin and are repenting? And is there faith in that second person, in that blessed mediator, in him, in the office of a prophet, but also of a priest? Do you need faith? Well, he's also the author and finisher of faith. And faith is a gift of him. You need faith? Beg him. Confess your unbelief. And children of God, lambs and sheep, beg him. Increase our faith, Lord. Increase it for the glory of thy name, that it may live closer, more holy, free from this world, and that it may be for your comfort. Remember that father with that lunatic boy? The disciples couldn't heal him. And then they was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that, and I say it in my own words, that father asked the Lord Jesus, can thou heal him? And then the Lord Jesus said, can you believe? And what did that father say? Is that you? Lord, I believe. How thou my unbelief. Jesus Christ, as that prophet teaches, to repent and believe, but as that priest also is the sacrifice. He finished his work on earth, and he ascended into heaven to continue his work as that interceding and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father, as we read in the answer, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us. And now listen what we read in Hebrews 7, verse 24 and 25. But this man, referring to Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ, as that great prophet, but also as that great priest. And he spoke to his disciples, and he told them that he needed to die, and that he would leave them, that he would send them to heaven. And they were filled with so much sadness. They didn't understand. Those little sheep, those lambs of the good shepherd, yes, his own children, didn't understand it at all. Why? They saw him as the prophet. He taught them. They saw him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. But they did not see him as the priest. And that's also in the life of God's children. They're taught by him, but to be taught that they need him as that high priest. But then the Lord also opens their understanding, as he did to the disciples, opening the understanding they might understand the scriptures. And then when he ascended into heaven, after he died, after he ascended into heaven, then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. How is that possible? Before they were filled with sadness, discouraged that the Lord Jesus would die and that he would leave them. But now with joy. Why? What's the difference? What were those little lambs and those sheep taught? They were taught about him as that great high priest. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They understood not only something of him as that prophet, but also as that high priest, that he was going to go back to the Father, to be at the right hand of the Father for them, interceding, ever thanking high priest. Church of God, we need him as that prophet, but we also need him as that high priest, not only as a sacrifice, but also as that ever continual interceding high priest at the right hand of the Father, that precious advocate. May I ask you, have you ever had joy in that name Jesus? Have you ever had joy in that name Christ? Have you ever had joy in that he's the prophet to teach you? Have you ever had true, profound joy that he's the high priest, that he's that sacrifice to open the way back to God, but also that he ascended to intercede at the right hand of the Father? We need him. You need him. I need him to be saved as the prophet, priest, and king, because without him, we are completely lost. But he's also that king. The king. But let's consider that in our third thought. Now we will sing from Psalter 362, stanzas 1 and 2 standing. 362, stanzas 1 and 2, and we'll do that standing. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou should mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 362, 1 and 2. Thank you.
Christ, the Savior of sinners. Christ, as prophet, saves sinners. Christ, as the high priest, saves sinners. And yet we need that third office. We need that third office. Christ, the King, saves sinners. He teaches them as the prophet. And he proclaims that way of salvation through him as the high priest. And he saves sinners as the holy high priest, redeeming them by his blood and reconciling them with the Father. But also that necessary office as a king. What do we read in the answer? And also to be our eternal king, who governs us by his word and spirit, who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he hath purchased for us. So Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinners, he frees. Did you hear it? He frees. He redeems. He liberates all those whom have been chosen by God the Father and have been given unto him. Because why will a sinner repent? Why will a sinner ever truly believe? Because Jesus Christ, as that King, works victoriously, conquering their hearts. It's not because some sinners decide, I'll repent. It's not because of some sinners make a choice and will believe and accept Jesus Christ. No, it's because of Christ, that King, that Almighty King, who works irresistibly in their hearts to bring them to repentance and to bring them to faith in himself. Sinners repent and believe because of his power as that King and by his grace. Listen to what he said in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then we read also in John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. It's the work of God the Father through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the Word, Jesus Christ, that sinners will be saved. God the Father appointed his Son as that three offices, prophet, priest, and king. All those that the Father have given him shall come to him. They shall. It's not a maybe. It's not a hopeful. Does Jesus Christ wait? Christ, as the prophet, priest, and king, does he wait for them to come? No. He seeks them. He saves them. He teaches them. He reveals the will of God. He proclaims repent and believe. And he tells them of that only way of salvation through himself. But he also works in them as that king to conquer and to make them willing in the day of his power. Christ came in this world to save. And God the Father has given him all power in heaven and of earth. And Jesus Christ, as that King, conquers the hearts of sinners. As prophet, he teaches the word. And as King, he applies the word. So salvation is in him. Salvation of sinners is in and through Christ, that prophet, priest, and King. He teaches by the law our misery, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism. But he also teaches through the gospel of that way of redemption. He uses the law to convict of sin, to make room for himself. The law is a schoolmaster for Christ. And he preaches the gospel because that's the balm in Gilead for wounded, convicted sinners. The word comes. The word is proclaimed through the world, Bolivia, through China, through the whole world, in many churches throughout the world, also in Canada. They hear it. But by that mighty King, applying it. They don't only hear it, but they hear it. It enters into their heart and there's life given. It comes irresistible. It comes powerful. And the external call is worked internal. What a salvation. Salvation for sinners. Recipients. He works in them
May I ask you, has he conquered your heart? Have you not only heard it, but it entered in your heart with power that you became sin? Have you become sin by the power of the King who teaches? Have you also been led to that only Savior, Jesus Christ? And have you seen the wonders of him as the Lamb of God? He speaks and it comes with power. Such power. Remember, children, Lazarus was dead for 4 days and he was beginning to stink. And Jesus Christ outside that tomb, as that prophet, priest, and king spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. It's a picture of his power with dead, stinking sinners to give them life. It comes from him. But remember, he says, follow me. He says, follow. Who follows him? Do they just make a choice? I'll follow him? No, he speaks with power. Follow me. And they begin to follow because he has the power to make them willing. An example. Remember Matthew? He was sitting dead in sins and trespasses. That publican enjoying his life, gaining more and more money. And the Lord Jesus Christ passed by and he said, follow me. And what happened? What do we read in Matthew 9, verse 9? And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. You see that king? He has the king to conquer your heart. That's the hope. That's the hope. Yes, there's the command. There's the responsibility. But also the free sovereign grace that gives hope. Because he works in man what no dead sinner will ever do. He's the prophet, priest, and king. That threefold office to completely save rebellious, lost, wretched sinners. Christ, that king, draws. He draws with the cords of love to himself to give them life, to feed them with himself, the bread of life, to water their thirsty souls with him who's the water of life. He draws sinner by the power of his word and spirit to himself. He conquers as the king, and they become willing. In the day of his power, they begin to flee unto him. They begin to crawl, they creep. Beggars, trembling, falling, yet coming unto him to refuge, unto him as a poor, needy sinner. He has power to conquer the hearts of a son, of a daughter, who doesn't want to hear the word absolutely anymore, who only wants to live in the world and said, I've enough. I want to be free. No more rules. I want to live in the world like the prodigal. Do you have a prodigal son or daughter? He has power. He can apply the word with such power that they come alive. They come to themselves. They see who they are for the first time. I'm sin. And they begin to hunger and thirst. They begin to think of God for the first time. He can do it. He has the power. He's the king. There's hope because of him, for his glory, for his honor, and for the salvation of sinners. He has the power to forgive sinners, pharisaical sinners, prodigal sinners, of all their sins. And he teaches that sinners come to know themselves. They only resist to hear that they're a sinner. They heard it many times, but by nature we only resist. They don't open the doors of their heart. It's all closed. But he comes, he opens, and they hear it. And they begin to know themselves as lost sinners. They thought they knew the way back to God. Or they didn't care at all about the way of God. But he comes with power as a king of what he taught and what he earned as a priest, and he brings it into their hearts. That he's the way. It becomes precious. The way is in him. And he teaches them that they're separated from God because of all their sin. But he also teaches, and he teaches them that he's the prophet, priest, and king. That in him is that way back to God, a favor with God, communion with God. May I ask you, how can we know this mediator? Catechism classes, confession of faith class, how can we know this mediator? Do you remember what Reverend Hellenbrook said? We can know him, because to know him is eternal life. No, not know him here, know him here. How can we know him experientially in our heart, remember? To know the triune God is not only To know him here is to know him. But to know that mediator is life, how can we know him? Through his names. And we've considered Jesus in Christ, but also through his offices as that prophet, priest, and king. May I ask you, who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is he to you? What think ye of Christ? Jesus had that question for those people that came to him. That's a question for you and me tonight as we begin this week of preparation. Who is Christ to you? What think ye of Christ? Or is your heart all sealed up in enmity? No, you wouldn't say that, because we're good. We're good. We're good people, right? We're good members, good church attenders. And yet, whosoever does not love him is cursed. Do you love that Savior or not? Can you say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. As he poured love in your heart, and you begin to love him as that one Jesus, as that one Christ, as that prophet to teach you, as that priest of the way of that sacrifice, and that he intercedes and that advocate at the right hand of the Father, but also to love him as that king, that he conquered your heart, that he made you willing, that he keeps you, he preserves you, he leads you and guides you step by step. And reading the answer, and also to be our eternal King who governs us by his word and spirit and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. He defends, he preserves, he keeps in the enjoyment. Now may I ask you another question? Have you ever had joy in the gospel? That's part of faith. It's not only sorrow. Yes, there's much reason to sorrow because of all our sin. But true faith, if there's a true believing, there's also joy. Joy in him, not of who I am, but who he is. Of who God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, as a prophet, priest, and king. And to belong to him, congregation, to belong to him as a prophet, priest, and king is the only comfort in life and in death. Not to belong to yourself, but you've been conquered by him, taught by him, led by him, and that he's your prophet, priest, and king. And we read in John 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. To be longing to him, that good shepherd who can teach, that good shepherd who can lead and guide, that good shepherd who paid for everything, that good shepherd who's that substitute for his sheep, that good shepherd who can keep, guide, defend, and hold on to you. Oh, to belong to him, that's the comfort in life and in death. My friend, without Jesus Christ, you are absolutely lost and under the wrath of God. Without him as your prophet, without him as your priest, and without him as your king, you are lost. But with him, if he has sought you, saved you, and he has made you his own, as the good shepherd, you heard his voice and you began to follow him and you love his voice. You want to obey him. To belong to him is everything. Has he begun that good work in you? Has he? Search your heart. It's preparation week. It's a time to examine. Has he begun? And if he has begun, oh, we can tremble. We fear. I will be lost someday. But that's looking within. But look a little out. Look to him. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, the ends of the earth. For I am God and none else. There's salvation in him. May he teach. May he lead. May he guide. May he teach sinners. May they be led in this week to need him. Not only as a prophet, but also as a high priest. His sacrifice. May they see it. May they worship him. May they hunger for it. For him, that Lamb of God. And may he keep and guide and hold on as the King, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And in him is abundant redemption, as we read in Psalm 130, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard a few words about who thou art as that prophet, priest, and king. Oh, may we beg thee then that thou would work mightily and irresistibly and conquer hearts, teach sinners who they are, but also teach sinners of who thou art. Lead them to death and everything itself in this week, and lead them to thyself, that sacrifice as that Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, may there be hunger, may there be thirst for thee, but also, Lord, work mightily as that King, conquering hearts, keeping, as also Satan will be busy in this week to attack thy dear people. Uphold them, guide them, lead them by thy word and spirit. May we ask thee, Lord, to bring us again here for a midweek service. Give opening to preach. Give much prayer. And bless it, Lord, for the glory of thy name, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the conversion of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Be with us also now, after this service, as we hope to sing with the young people. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless also those means. We ask this in the forgiveness of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 259. Psalter 259, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 259, 1, 2, and 4. Sing to the Lord, sing his praise, all ye peoples. New to your song as new honors ye pay. Sing of his majesty, bless him forever. Show his salvation from day to day. 259, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.